This week on Barbell Strong, we talk about intensity and volume and intensity
and volume.
Intensity.
Yo, this is CTP, and you're listening to the Barbell Shrug Podcast, the number one strength and conditioning podcast for CrossFitters.
If you want to check out the video version, which you should, go to fitter.tv and watch that, because it's way cooler than just listening.
And how do you spell fitter.tv there, Mr. Bledsoe?
F-I-T-R.tv.
He's a good speller. All right, while you're there, definitely go and sign up for the newsletter. As part of signing up for the newsletter, you'll get a video that Mike made where he shows you the top seven snatch mistakes that you're probably making that are keeping you from hitting that next PR and lifting some big weight.
Yeah, look at the seminars, tune into the show, and get ready to become a more awesomer version of
you. We give you the tools you need to succeed.
You become a tool.
Two.
Oh, jeez. What's up, guys? Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Chris Moore and Michael McGoldrick.
Yeah. Michael McGoldrick is intense.
Yeah, he's joining us for our he's joining us for our talk today. He's become a regular podcaster with us. How many times have you been on the show now, Mike?
This would be my fourth time.
Fourth time.
Mm-hmm. Is that the leading? Who's been on more besides us? I think it's you. I think you're holding the trophy.
Mike might be overtaking some people. All right, so
step aside, Doug Larson.
That's right. We're gonna
just kidding.
Yeah, today we're gonna talk a little about intensity, but first, I want to thank all the people who've been watching us.
Word.
We started podcasting back in, I think it was about March. Is that right? Yeah. And we've been trying to do it every single week. We've been pretty good at it so far, and we really appreciate everyone that's been watching. And it's really grown, and we saw a lot of comments this past week on Twitter and Facebook and a lot of kind words, and I really do appreciate it. It's pretty awesome.
Steam is picking up.
Yes, the steam is picking up. About almost half of our audience is on iTunes, and if a lot of you guys are watching on YouTube, and if you don't know, you can actually listen to us on iTunes too. So if you're having a hard time keeping up with just watching, you can listen in your car. If you can, head over to iTunes for us, and there's a place where you can give a rating, you know, 1 through 5 stars. I would like for you guys, if you could, go and give us a 5-star rating and say something nice about us.
5 is good.
5 is good.
1 lame, 5 good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So if you could, go to iTunes, knock that out. That would be awesome. I would really appreciate it. This show is brought to you by Chris Moore's seminar, Simple Strength.
I ain't bringing nothing.
What?
Oh, we're cooperating now, yes. Simple Strength, the mind-blowing, fantastic program to make you a much stronger version of you.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
That is the truth. We've gotten a lot of good feedback on his seminar. Some of that, if you go to our website and click on, if you go to barbellstruck.com, just click on shop, and you'll see the Simple Strength there. If you click on that, you can kind of see what other people have said about the seminar, and there have been some really great reviews on that.
Mm, some very kind things said.
That's right. And if you don't like it, money-back guarantee.
You can't beat that.
No.
Where are you going to beat that?
Can't do it. All right, so last thing I want to talk about before we get started with the discussion on intensity is garage games. So if you're listening in the future...
Which you will be. Yeah. Right. We talk about this every week. We tape the show, and then later people hear it. That means it's the future.
How many listeners do we have right now?
5 million.
At this very moment?
None.
I think we've got four.
We'll
we got ourselves.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to be at the Garage Games next month. That'll be February 16th and 17th, 2013.
You're giving a nice lecture.
Yes.
I'm giving a lecture.
That's right.
For a bullshit session. Doug's giving a lecture.
That's right.
Mike's going.
That's right.
Yep.
Mike McGoldrick will be there. Mike Bledsoe, Chris Moore, Doug Larson. The three guys that are normally hosting this show will all be giving talks on Saturday. Doug is giving his talk first. It's going to be on mobility and restoration and how to recover on game day. Chris, you're talking about strength training, of course.
Not really.
Oh, well. Who knows what he'll be talking about?
There's no way to tell. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to have roots in science and some philosophy. It's going to be funny. It's going to make fun of some stuff. It's going to shed light on some stuff. It's going to make you think differently about the stuff you are going to do in your life and stuff.
Excellent.
That's all you need to know, player.
And then,
that's all you need to know.
If you're a gym owner, I'm going to be giving a talk on Saturday night about how to differentiate yourself in the market. I know a lot of gyms in the Atlanta area is super saturated. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and how to gain some financial stability in your business. So if your gym is making like $50,000 a month, this talk may not be for you. But for everyone else, it might be beneficial.
You want Mike to plug what he's going to be there for?
And
it seems timely.
Yeah, that's right. Mike McGoldrick, the owner of mobilitykits.com, will be there. He's going to have a booth right next to us.
Yes, I will.
If you're tired of your balls and your straps being all loose in your gym bag, you need mobility kits. Don't let your balls go loose.
It's a good opportunity to pick yourself up a kit, save on shipping, and then we might have a 5% discount as well.
You might or you will. Are.
It's kind of a secret.
Is that the lure?
You'll have to come and see.
You may or may not be in for big deals. Come on by.
Mobility kits are pretty cool. I think all of us have one or two at our houses or stays in our gym bags. So they're excellent product. All right. So we're going to get started about intensity. And I think a lot of people in the CrossFit community, in the training and the strength and conditioning world as a whole kind of maybe miss the mark on intensity. And I think we want to kind of clear that up. And with talking about intensity, we also have to address volume because they are pretty much directly connected.
It's yin and yang.
You can't have the intensity talk without talking about volume. And one of the things we thought about is how much volume people are training when they're doing CrossFit now. And Mike, you are a high-level CrossFit competitor, and you've been training for the CrossFit Games and for regionals and the Open for years now.
Some would call you a beast.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Some would allegedly say you're beastly in your ability to do stuff.
So you're very having kind of to do more high volume training now than you were, say, 2 years ago. And it's just absolutely necessary. Can you tell us a little bit about how that's progressed?
Right. I think since the sport has grown, you look at just the volume at, for example, a regional competition. You know, let's take workout number 4, for example. You know, 2 years ago, it was 100 pull-ups. The next year, it was 120. This year, it may be 150. So you're just going to have to prepare for more each weekend. It's also a 3-day event now, and the games are, what, a 4-day event now? So that's just more work.
So by that logic, in the year 2030, yeah, how many pull-ups will be at the CrossFit
650.
Games? 650. That doesn't seem safe. It doesn't seem like it's safe.
Doesn't matter. We're pushing human potential.
So intense, bro.
Something like that.
Move beyond.
No, but anyways,
you got to move beyond humanity.
Right. You got to take chances.
I'm going to have robot arms by then, so it won't matter.
What's volume?
Yeah, so...
what is volume? What is the? Are you going to define it?
Oh.
You going to leave us guessing?
That's actually a pretty good idea, is we should probably talk about exactly what volume is.
We're totally lay here.
Wow.
Just explain.
Okay.
You define volume, and then I'll explain why it's important.
That's a good idea. All right, so volume, when referencing... It's hard to say.
Damn it!
I will say this. Volume is the amount of reps you do in a workout, okay? Especially when you're talking about strength training. If you're talking about strength training, it is the amount of reps that you complete in a workout, all right? If you're talking about conditioning, say you have a row session or you're having a you're going for a run, your volume could be your mileage or your meters, but it is probably a better thing to look at the duration of the training. So the amount of time that you spend conditioning is the volume. That's what I like to measure when I'm looking at conditioning. When I'm looking at measuring the volume is how long did they spend doing that conditioning session. So when we talk about there being an increase in volume, we're talking about the amount of reps that people are doing, especially over 60% of their one rep max, and the volume, the time they're spending doing conditioning going up. That just means they're spending more time in the gym, doing more reps, spending more time doing conditioning.
And all that shit don't make a difference because we're here to talk about intensity. Now, what's the intensity, homie?
So
for the people.
No, I want to talk about volume for a minute real quick first.
Oh, whatever.
I want to let Mike talk about how has the volume gone up in the last few years of training, though? in preparation, because we just talked about how the volume's gone up in the competitions, you know, that event four in both, you know, 2011 and 2012 regional competitions, the volume increased. So how does that correlate to your training?
You know, speaking from like a, from a games competitor standpoint, like if that's what your goal is, yeah, the volume is definitely important, and it comes with a system, and I believe in checks and balances. So, you know, each year they're asking more from you, so you're just going to have to put out more work, you know, throughout the week, which is in turn going to require, you know, more work done outside of the gym to prepare for that volume.
Seems to me that there's a, this can only go so far before the average athlete won't be able to keep up with that escalation of demands.
Maybe that, or it's just going to start weeding more people out, you know?
Weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get a lot of questions, in regard to, this happens quite a bit, and it happens to come from a lot of people in the military. There's a lot of guys in the military. They're like, I want to prepare for the CrossFit Games. And I find out that, they're spending, you know, they're in the Army, and they're doing a 13 mile ruck every weekend. They're doing all these body weight, conditioning, CrossFit style conditioning workouts, and then they're getting the strength trained twice a week, but they're not, I would say they're not that strong. So their deadlift still hasn't broken 450 pounds or their squat hasn't broken 350, 400 pounds. They're spending all this time getting all that volume in. What do you think about building a strength base before throwing in a lot of the volume? And how do you think doing a lot of volume can hurt your chances of getting stronger?
I think if you're not recovering properly, of course it can. You know, it obviously depends on the athlete, but you got if you want to get stronger and faster and, you know, grow as an athlete, you have to train more. Like, you just have to do more, you know, because that's what they're requiring each and every year. You know, so that just, like I said.
But I think the most important thing to remember there is a lot of people hear that and go, well, more is better. I should do more. The more I do, the more I improve, and that shit ain't true. Because I think the key is, if you're doing a little bit of work and you're making a lot of progress, then you don't change anything. I think it'd be folly to say, well, I'm getting good. If I do more, I'll get better quicker.
I agree. I think
if somebody on your level, you got to do so much because you've already accomplished so much. And to get any response out of the conditioned flesh needs a pretty intense stimulus. And the recover from that takes all your energy and focus on getting lots of food in, getting lots of recovery in. So it takes more and more of a demand of your time. But absolutely, it should only be done when you absolutely need to do it.
Yeah, as soon as it becomes detrimental, then obviously it's too much volume.
Yeah.
And you kind of touched on that a little bit too, is like the recovery side of things. So the type of volume that you're having to do now to prepare for a regional competition or for the CrossFit Games, you're having to do more volume. So you have to be smarter about recovery. Like, how much sleep are you getting a night? Like, how much sleep do you get a night? Do you take naps during the day? As from a sleep perspective, what does your recovery look like?
It's much
don't
more demanding
be guilty.
Now. I'm not. I mean, I'm an athlete, and I'm 8 to 10 hours a night and 1 to 2 15-minute naps a day.
Do you think that if...
Only 15 minutes.
Yeah, I just need a quick little power nap, and I'm like, I wake up recharged.
Do you go George Costanza style underneath the desk at work? So turn off the lights and hit punch a clock?
I'll turn out the lights sometime. Honestly, like, I even show up to the gym sometimes, and if I haven't had time to do it when I'm out, I can lay on the ground. And this is just me personally, but I can fall asleep in 5 minutes.
Asleep like Tuesday on the floor of the gym on the acid turf.
I just need to close my eyes for 5 minutes. And like, it does... Two naps a day does wonders for you. Just try it.
So you take about...
People are like, I can't take naps.
You take 2 15-minute naps a day?
5 to 15 minutes.
5 to 15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. What the hell is a 5-minute nap, man?
It's
that, like, doesn't even...
You know, like, right when you start to fall off?
And you just wake back up?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm good.
That is not a nap.
So if you couldn't get 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night, say you were getting 6 hours of sleep a night and no naps, what do you think would happen to your training volume?
It would have to go down. There's just no way I could do it. I could go through the motions, but the intensity would not be there.
Well said. Yeah.
That sounds like your segue into the intensity.
It actually kind of is.
I just lubed you up, slide right into it.
You got lubed up and eased right in.
Oh.
Damn it, CTP.
So we need to talk about intensity a little bit and how volume intensity are interrelated.
It's a teeter totter.
Checks and balances.
That's right. Chris, I think
I reject your analogy and I reinstitute the teeter totter.
So, Chris, what define intensity for us and how it relates to volume?
Yeah, I mean, in my view, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, intensity means not how much you yell and scream, but it's how much load you put on a barbell. And then usually, unless you're a superhuman freak on massive amounts of some sort of drug, the more weight you do, you're probably going to have the volume come down a little bit. And the less weight you do, the more apt you are to increase the volume.
You're talking about barbell training. So you say the volume is going to come down, so you have to reduce the amount of reps in that entire workout.
Yeah. And
not just per set.
We say have because, I mean, the more like 1RM attempts you take, the less you have physically left over to do anything else. No one's going to do a set of 10 with 90% of the 1RM unless it's not really your 1RM. That being said, 50% of your 1RM, you could do lots and lots of reps with it. It's a natural give and take with load and reps. And these two things work together to give you something called training volume load.
And training,
Volume load.
So what is training volume load versus just volume?
Well, if I remember correctly, I actually haven't defined this since I was back in grad school and I used to teach about it and talk about it all the time. But I think that's basically the amount of work you did times load gives you a product of sort of work accomplished. So if you did, like, you could have a huge training volume load by doing like 100 pounds lots and lots of times. Or if you deadlifted your 1RM once and rested for 30 minutes and did it again and did it again and did it again and again, the cumulative effect of all that work adds up over time.
Okay. Yeah, so it's basically your reps times the weight that
you did.
And
I will fill out the pearl. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the luscious pearl. If you are training really hard and you're feeling beat up, you want to rest. If you say, well, I'm going to rest. I'm going to back the weight off. I'm going to go in the gym and do a pump. If you go in and then do 3, 4, 5 sets of 10 at something, your training volume load is still kind of high. Even though the weight is down, the reps are way up, and you will not be able to actually recover from that. You'll feel good. You won't feel like you've done a lot. In actuality, you have. If you resume your training, you're going to have shit training. Get bad results. You got to keep this teeter-totter and these checks and balances in place in your mind.
What is it about intense training, heavy loads? What is it about that causes this fatigue?
See, actually, last year I did this experiment where I kind of tortured myself basically the whole year where I started doing the frequent squatting. You recall that.
I do.
Yeah. So I picked three kinds of squats. I did them Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, or Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, spread out a little bit. Every day was to a 1RM. And then one or two times extra that week, I'd go in and work up to like 80, 90% lift. So for me, for some weightlifters, that's not a lot of squatting. But for my powerlifter who spent his whole life thinking that once a week heavy squats was a lot of squats, maybe too much, this was a big change of pace. And what I actually found is that if you're working up heavy frequently, it's actually not that fatiguing. The key thing is, from my perspective, is you start learning how
you
adapt to it. You learn how to get really efficient moving. You don't get emotionally, kind of what some people think of as intense. You don't get emotionally worked up over something as silly as rep. Like the biggest mistake I made in my powerlifting career, one of the biggest mistakes I made in my powerlifting career was this whole idea of this one day a week, bro, I'm going in the gym and I'm going to friggin' max out. I'm going to play Pantera. I'm going to wear military boots. I'm going to break up my knee sleeves and wear a cut off sweatshirt. I'm going to yell and scream and I'm going to lift some weight and it's going to be all I can do. And that's actually the shittiest approach you can take to training. The best approach is actually to become very, very comfortable with a lot of weight, with a high intensity, with a lot of demand. So remaining physically calm, but getting very, very used to lifting a lot of weight frequently. And even on my unloading weeks, the weeks I tried to rest and not do a lot, I would still lift 80, 90% of my ability, but I would just do less sets. So I would back the volume down, but I would always keep the weight up.
So something you could do year round.
Not something you can do year round, but you don't want to do that kind of focus year round anyway, because then you're not doing things like building muscle mass or improving your body composition or getting in better shape. It's all ebb and flow. So when it's time to get strong, the best way to get strong, assuming you're capable, your form is good, you have some experience, is to lift heavy friggin' weights.
Yeah. I find one thing I really like to do when I program is alternate between higher volume days versus higher intensity days. So there's definitely, you can find that people are capable of doing more work. If you go intense, you know, 3 days in a row, you're going to wreck people. If you go volume, 3 days in a row, you're going to wreck people. But if you go intense, volume, intense, then people are going to there's almost a rejuvenation effect there too. The total training volume load is going to stay high, and you definitely can't do that week after week. Mm-hmm. But alternating between volume and intensity, in my opinion, could be really beneficial for most athletes. I think that's something Louis Simmons talks about too. He has the max effort, the dynamic effort, and then he also has all that volume training that he stacks on after
you do that stuff. And all the assistant stuff.
I may be going talking a little too specific in that manner, but.
Pardon me, yo. For all our pimps and hoes out there, can you give a example of what maybe an intense day and then a volume day and then an intense day looks like?
Sure. I'll just talk about back squat. So a high intensity day would be going up to 90% of your one rep max and doing 5 singles. So that would be a high intensity day.
A damn fine way to get stronger, if I might say.
It is. And then a high volume day would be going in and doing 5 sets of 8 on back squat. Now, you're obviously going to do way less weight for the 5 sets of 8 than for the 5 singles. So that would be an example of a high volume day versus a high intense day. And the same thing goes for conditioning as well. I know McGoldrick, McGee, and here and I have talked about this quite a bit, is the intensity of conditioning as well. It kind of follows the same type of rules. So the volume, if the volume's lower in a conditioning workout, say you're doing Fran, which is a lower volume workout and is extremely intense on the conditioning side of things, you wouldn't want to do that 5 days a week, would you?
No, absolutely not. But it's so hard to it's not black and white, because it depends on the athlete too. Like, for some people, it might be, you know, high volume because the pull-ups may be difficult.
Right.
That's me, because
like
I'm fat.
50 pull-ups for some people is a lot.
Yeah, if they do 50 pull-ups in a workout, they're wrecked.
So I see what you're saying, but it's hard, it's hard.
Well,
for...
I'm gonna suggest... Are you okay? Mike's cramping.
Cramping my
So, his training volume is too high.
He's not wearing any underwear.
I'm good.
Look at the jazz pants there. Oh yeah,
looks
you good. Getting sweaty thighs and those suckers. Sliding right out of
the
chair.
What are we talking about? The
Fran.
Fran. So if your Fran takes you 3 minutes, then that's probably the relative volume for you is probably pretty
it's
low.
It's way on the. It's much more on the intensity side of it.
Right. So can you? What would be an example of like a high volume, low intense workout?
Something I did tonight, for example, every minute on the minute type stuff. So I did, for every minute on the minute for 20 minutes, I did 7 power cleans at very light load. And then
what's a light load for you?
135 pounds.
And what's your one rep max?
The 330.
So the load is like less than 50% of your one rep max.
Right, but 7 reps times 10 minutes.
Right.
Right, 70 reps. So high volume, low intensity.
Uh-huh.
And then on the odd minute, some gymnastic work, it was 8 toes to bar.
Right.
Right, so that's over 20 minutes, that's 70 power cleans and 80 toes to bar. So
well, I don't do math.
That's a very high volume, but low intensity because the weight's very
light.
Where's
my iPhone, man? Give me the calculator.
A lot of people would walk away from that workout, be out of breath, be like, "Holy shit, that was intense!"
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think people get confused on what intensity means, especially on the conditioning side of things.
Yeah, it needs to be the right dose, because those who probably, I don't know, two reasons. I mean, obviously your conditioning is poor, but why they may be walking away from it wrecked is just because they're, you know, like muscular endurance may be the issue. I'll keep it simple. They're just not good at the movement yet.
Right.
Right. So pick something that's not so challenging, like a leg raise or something, or sit-ups, every on the minute do 8 sit-ups and then deadlifts.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's one reason I like to use percentages for conditioning. So before CrossFit came around, I mean, people did, they did rowing, running, cycling, swimming, that's what they did for conditioning. And it was a single mode, and it was, do it for this amount of time or for these many miles or whatever. And now that we have CrossFit, you've got pull-up reps and deadlift reps
and
power cleans.
Mixed modal.
Mixed modal domains.
Boom.
So the
oh, you guys are so, oh, you suck.
Bear with us, dude. We're almost done.
Hashtag mixed modal domains player. What?
I think
fucking sounded intense, bro.
When people start doing the weight because that's RX, just because they want to do RX weight, if your one rep max thruster is 110 pounds and you're going to do 95 pound thrusters for a total of 45 reps in that workout, that is too intense. That load is too heavy. You're not getting.
You crossed the threshold, bro, Hammer.
Yeah, you're not getting the conditioning stimulus that whoever programmed that workout is trying to get.
You're in a testing state or a fatigue state.
Exactly.
Training. I would wager that maybe you made enemies in the gym and they're trying to kill you. Totally, man. This is just a light conditioning workout. Keep at it.
And yeah. And I used to think of RX weights as a goal to have, but now I think about, you know what, your goals for raising the amount of weight you can lift should be done in the strength realm. You know, when you're doing strength work. And then when you're doing conditioning, let's pick a percentage of that one rep max, and let's keep it between, say, 30% and 60%. Keep it light, and keep it a conditioning workout, not a strength workout.
Well, dude, haven't you noticed the biggest improvement in your training has been learning how to get comfortable and take your time and sort of immerse yourself in what you're working on, which is not going crazy, not doing max effort, but just riding in the pocket.
Absolutely, it was spending more time in the volume area.
Yeah,
just putting more time in the gym, as
moving
far,
efficiently
away from the intensity,
being
yeah,
calm, like
doing the the long AMRAPs, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. Basically, helped me get comfortable with just moving better.
I think that's more like the common idea and the common definition of intensity: this stiffness, this intensity, this yelling, this putting all you have into a workout, sort of. Crosses back over what we're talking about, because really a lot of times what you're trying to do is fucking relax, man.
Yeah,
relax, and get work in.
It's okay if you're not on the ground screaming, withering in pain after every workout.
You can put Sade on the radio. You can get a little relaxed. You can ride in the groove. You can sip an iced tea and get your work in. Get a gentle sweat going, because that's a specific thing that you're not gonna tap into. If you're yelling and screaming and doing a max effort XYZ, it's okay to go deliberately and smoothly through a lot of repeated effort. And it's all, I would even call it sort of meditative. Like, you probably get a very satisfying feeling from 30, 45 minutes, an hour of working steadily through something and then getting done with it. That's a whole
Absolutely,
different kind
yeah.
of training
Absolutely.
Stimulus.
When I lift weights, a lot of times people may come in and I'm lifting when, before everyone else gets there, and I'll be listening to some music, which people think might be a little bit strange.
Well, you're a strange dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe a little bit. But like, I like to listen to chill music when I weightlift. Like, when I'm hitting like a 1RM, if I'm going for a 1RM snatch, I don't want Crazy Pantera on the radio. I usually benefit.
That shit ain't gonna help you.
Everyone's different, man.
I benefit. Well, I'll say this, and I've seen this happen with athletes as they become more experienced. Like, a younger athlete can walk around the gym fired up for 2 hours straight. I can't do that.
They have magical manufactured energy.
Yeah.
Pop.
If I walk around fired up for 15 minutes, I am exhausted. Like, I want...
You're an old lion.
I lift my weight. Well, and when I lift my weight, I'm not hearing any music. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, extremely focused. I find my focus. I lift. And as soon as that lift is over, I immediately try to recharge. I want to rejuvenate. I want to recover. So recovery is just not for when you go home and hit the bed. Recovery happens in between sets.
Boom.
There's a
That sounds like the second pearl of the show. Recovery is not this thing you do.
That can
when
translate into a lot of things.
Recovery is instant, right there.
For
right
sure.
Right in the moment.
Yeah.
I commend you on the pearl.
Thank you. Thank you. There's a good book that talks about this. A guy did a lot of research on recovery for tennis players. Professional tennis players, and they found that the best tennis players in the world had a ritual. So as soon as the set was done, the heart rate of the tennis player who was doing really well, or you know, the best tennis players in the world, the heart rate would automatically come down. They would have a ritual, like they would strum their fingers across the strings of the racket.
Yeah, like when they adjust the strings and shit.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, you see them, they do the same ritual over and over again. Maybe they pat their racket 5 times. But that's a ritual that they have built in to help them relax in between sets. And those are the guys that have intense focus. I mean, it's intervals, right? So they compete at higher intensities than anyone else in the world can compete at, for 10
but
seconds.
They know how to turn it off right away.
And then, yeah, as soon as it's over, and that's why I
that will last.
I talk about music a little bit. Sometimes if there's music that's really loud and blaring and just going nuts for 2 hours straight, I was like, it's going to screw up my entire, like, I don't let it try to, you know, I can kind of shut the music out. But if it's up to me, I would rather have some mellow stuff.
It's like a flashlight. You turn it up bright. If you want that battery to not burn out within 5 minutes, you got to turn it back off. If you turn it up a little bit, you can let it last longer. I mean, it's the same kind of thing.
Hey, but if your training session's 30 minutes, hey, blow it out.
What's another good reason why you shouldn't?
There's no need to ever do that, though. I mean, why not treat it like every day is a competition? As soon as you get done, start working on your recovery right then. You know, you finish that last interval, you go knock out Fran, and you're smoked. It's so cool to lay on the ground and look at everybody. Look at me. Look how tired I am.
Hey, everybody. Look how tired I am.
Get up. Start moving. Your recovery starts then. And that's good practice. That'll put you in a good habit.
Yeah. If you want to compete, that's going to be extremely important.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You're going to do multiple guys who last in one day.
And do, the guys who last and do the best in those competitions.
I can make a recommendation that you start selling Every Day's a Competition t-shirts on mobilitykits.com.
There you go.
Every Day's a Competition. Use the balls. Stretch yourself. work your product into it somehow. I don't know. I mean, the balls is a funny thing, but every day's
competition. You're doing a fine job. Just keep it up.
Every day's a competition is nice. I like that. Good job. That's a hashtag.
The guys who do the best in those competitions are the ones who are able to turn it off right away and then turn it back on rather than staying up all day long, because that will drain you.
Yeah. So if you do stay on the whole time, that's going to lower your ability to be intense, though. It's going to lower your ability to have intensity during the workout. Yeah. So if you're staying intense and not getting that recovery in between sets.
This shit reminds me of my first powerlifting meet where I got, dude, I was up.
Are you done?
Well, so I'll let you finish, dude. And my perception was that you were done. Cause you had to get some points.
Not yet.
You were done with him.
No, but like,
he lost it.
I lost it. I was trying to find out why intensity is important. So, I think it's obvious why it's important in competition, but why is it important in training?
I think what we really answered was why the control and balance of intensity is important.
And if you don't have the control, intensity will get out of control. That's your fifth pearl.
I don't understand what that means.
All right, Chris.
Who's controlling what?
Go ahead.
Who's being controlled? No, I was just going to speak to this point. Like, I think a lot of people approach a competition or like a testing day. Mm-hmm. And like the whole day of, the whole night before, they're stressed about it. They don't want to look an asshole in front of their friends. They don't want to let anybody down, even though no one's going to be let down, no matter how good or bad you mm-hmm. do. No one's thinking about that. They're just going to support you because they love you. They're friends and family. Relax. But in your mind,
six pearl.
This is the most important thing that could ever happen to any human being ever. This is like,
oh yeah,
you know, the Great Wall of fucking China.
It's defining you.
This is pyramids being built. This is your moment. This is where your destiny comes into shape. Meanwhile, it's not that intense. But that whole day of stressing, struggling to eat, struggling to sleep, that totally zaps you before you're going to go do the thing. And the most important thing to do is to stay as calm as possible, relaxed as possible before the moment arrives. And like you said, in between those events, you're testing, in between that big set, to turn it off, man. Not to pace around like a maniac.
I mean,
listen to death metal in your ears.
I've never done a powerlifting meet, but I can imagine it's the same way.
It's like, stupid. Well, I used to think, man, weightlifting meets are so stupid, man, because everybody's so damn quiet.
Or it's stupid?
It's stupid.
Okay.
I was like, stupid.
Sorry.
You're my bro.
I was just trying
to. Hey, come on the podcast so we can call your names.
So we can make money.
No, I used to have the idea that, man, it's so boring. These guys are just sitting around being quiet. There's no music. This sucks.
That's because
and Power of the Meat was, you know, friggin' hate breed playing at 8,000 decibels all day for 10 hours.
Yeah.
And everybody sniffing shit and rubbing shit and blaring shit and hitting their head in the barbells like I used to do, like a dum-dum, and missing a whole lot of weights and yelling and screaming for nothing. Man. And then after a while, you're like, wow, the inverse is true. This is stupid. And optimally rousing yourself, being focused, focusing on what you're doing and how you could do it best is actually what gives you the most fulfillment and makes you perform better. It's totally flip-flop for me. I'm the first person to say that my old ways and that sport needs to adopt some different practices.
I think you bring up a good point is, you know, people go into their first competition and it's actually not even possible to relax.
No.
You go into your first competition and there is no way. I mean, I've done it. I've gone into like new sports. Like the first time I competed in CrossFit, I was like, all right, I got to recover in between sets. And I'm like, I'm like pacing around. I'm like, oh shit, I should be laying down.
Nightmare.
You were awesome.
I got like 20 minutes of sleep. It was awful.
Because in your mind, you're like, you're about to compete in the Beijing Olympics.
And exactly what you said happened. I did awesome on my first one. I felt great. And I blew it up. But then after that, I was done for the rest of the day.
He spent the whole day eating one grape at a time and throwing up.
Yeah, I was destroyed.
But that's where
you gotta learn. You gotta take.
Did you also take any stimulants? Or
no,
anything?
No.
Nah. On top of all that silly shit, I used to also take like a gram of Ephedra.
I don't need any stimulants.
Be fucking coughing up blood in between warm up sets, basically.
I think the point here is you gotta practice.
Don't
competing.
Take a gram of Ephedra.
Yeah. Don't train year round and then try to go to the games. It ain't gonna happen because you have to practice competing. This happens with weightlifting. Happens with any sport: weightlifting, powerlifting, CrossFit. If you don't go and practice competing. You know, I know a lot of people, they wait till their numbers are good, and then they go compete, and they bomb out. And they're like, you wasted all that time. You should have been competing before your numbers are where you thought they should have been. Because you have to practice competing just as much as you
things get really...
Builds confidence. Is a
to
lot
kind of skew the word, but things are really intense at the day of the meet. Things are pressured. Oh, yeah. You feel awkward because you're not in control. You don't lift. You don't move when you want to move. You lift and move when the judge says it's time to lift and move. Everything's thrown off.
Yep.
You are worried about
what
you're looking like.
You're not in your element.
Yeah.
Yep. I need to give CTP these videos. I have some videos from my last weightlifting meet, and I have a ritual when I get on the platform, or
you miss.
I guess you could call it my Zen moment.
I have this ritual where I don't win.
I won the last one. No. I have a Zen moment. I get there.
I placed first out of two lifters.
That's true.
Whatever,
I get up there.
One.
I have like a Zen moment. I think about happy things, good things that are happening in my life. And then I have my eyes closed, bring it all in, reach down, snatch the bar. And then after I get done with that, then it's like everything gets loud again. And I think it takes practice just to be able to find that Zen moment. But it was funny. Because there's some girls, you can hear him taking the video too. Like, I love it when he does that. Like, he's like,
what's in your head? Is it Chubbs playing the piano? He's like, hi, happy. I got my hand back.
It's Blue. Blue's up there.
Yeah. There you go.
One last thing I want to cover before we take a break. And that is, we talked about what intensity is for strength training, which is a percentage of your 100% or your one rep max on a particular lift. Mike, I think you could do a good job of describing exactly what intensity is for conditioning. Maybe talk about RPE.
Oh, sure.
I know you have some opinions on that.
You mean as far as like, we'll just go simple, the Airdyne, Airdyne intervals.
Which is a real bitch of a machine.
Yeah, like
if you want intensity, easy way to get it.
You will
if you want intensity and you want to learn where your RPE, your rate of perceived exertion is, Airdyne's a great tool because you can get on it and it's easy to find what 100% is.
So those of you who don't know what this
super
is.
Super low skill movement.
Yeah, like
this kind of cycling apparatus.
Yeah, it's
really
a
hard.
Goofy exercise bike with a big fan that's probably in your grandma's basement. Get one. They're on Craigslist. They're great.
What is RPE?
Rate of perceived exertion.
So how does that scale work?
So basically depending, I use it based on day to day, how I feel that day. Right. So my 100% today may not be the same as it is tomorrow. May not be the same as it is Friday.
Oh, definitely won't be. No.
Right. So, how you feel that day, if you go in and you say, I'm going to do 5 sets at 100% of, you know, how I feel today, 15 seconds long, you know, rest 5 minutes. That's a good example of some high intensity intervals, you know, or 30 seconds long or however long, you know, obviously the longer you go, you want to bring the intensity down.
I mean, even
that
even,
sounds familiar.
Yeah. I mean, in a conditioning scenario,
teeter totter.
Yeah.
It's impossible to hold the intensity for a 15 second interval versus a 60 second.
Right.
Interval.
Right. You,
the power output's going to drop.
You know what? I don't want to tell you to do it. Go experiment. Go home. Grab your Airdyne. Get on it. Go all out for 60 seconds.
Make sure you take a video of this, by the way.
Don't.
Yep. And then try and do it again.
Don't eat a French dip sandwich
a minute
later. You'll throw
that's
up.
Right.
Do it five times.
Well, RP is
and
really,
you'll learn how to adjust your intensity. RP
is super. Can I just say I did that the other day?
Did you eat a French dip sandwich and get on the Airdyne?
You did that?
No, I was warning people not to do that because you will throw up gravy all over the fan. Spray it back in your face.
No, I'm just talking about an Airdyne sprint, and I felt like it was, after two of them, at max intensity, it was like I had to go to the toilet, and it felt like you're hungover, like you have the cold sweats, and you're waiting.
Like your body is going, it's like death throes.
It's tricky, too, because it's a tool that, like, it's not like many others. Like a rower, you can sprint on it, but it's not constant output. It's like work rest, work rest, work rest, work rest. Airdyne is, everything on your body is working all out at that one moment.
Your personal hell would be eternal Airdyne sprints, right? No getting off.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I mean, can anything be worse? Anyone.
I don't know if you get comfortable with that. Like, you might get used to it, but you just, they always suck.
I was going
to
make a point. I was going to make an actual point. That RP is really actually an incredibly useful idea because, like, people train with percents with barbells. The reason why I never really like to do that is because if I go in and feel really awesome, I can use heavy percents and move them well. If I come in and feel really crappy, and for some reason I made up in my mind that I've got this prescription, I'm going to do X sets of X with 70%.
That's stupid.
That
training
number doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Like 70% doesn't mean. That's why you need good coaches who say, you can look at you and be like, take it off, add weight, because on any given day, we're looking at the cumulative thing over time. Some days are really awesome. Some days are crappy. The cumulative effect is in the middle and you're making progress. So you can't get too caught up in the high days. You can't get too bummed out in the low days. But you've got to know how to adjust what you plan on going in the gym and doing. And RP is a super awesome way of doing
that. And you might do that with, you write your weightlifting programs. You know, it's, you write the numbers out first, and then I imagine you keep an eye on the weightlifters, and you might change it up on the fly. Because if they go in one day and they're like, I have to hit 90% today for 10 doubles, and they can't hit it on the first set.
That's when you scream in their face.
What do you? Oh, I gotta stay to my program.
Ten doubles sounds ridiculous. You know, first off, but no, but you're right. But actually, run into this. This happens pretty frequently with the weightlifters, and it's hard as a coach too because I've got so many athletes, and I may see one athlete one day, and I tell them something, and I feel like I've told everybody at least once, but sometimes I'll tell an athlete something, they're like, that's the first time I've heard that. I'm like, you've been training for 6 months. How can that be the first time? But it might be. But what, this happens probably about once a week. We're doing 90%, and they're missing.
Right.
And I walk around, how many times have you missed that? Like 3 times. I'm like, that's not your 90% today.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the percent is a suggestion. And, you know, I don't want to have to write that on the blog every single day or in their training.
Well, you got to put comma effort next to it.
Right.
You know, if you just say 90%, they're like, well, I'm going 90% of my 1RM.
Yeah, but then
90% effort.
Yeah, and then there's the whole other thing there, too. It's like they haven't been training. They're not experienced enough to know what effort is.
Right.
You know, if they can hit 90% and that feels like a 1 rep max for them that day and they've been weightlifting for less than a year, do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take those lifts. But yeah, it's like, don't be afraid to take 2.5 pounds off each side of the barbell and practice hitting your lift.
Yeah.
Like,
concept.
If you're missing half of your lifts, you are officially training to miss lifts. Pull the weight off and keep pulling off 2.5 off each side each time. Pull 5 pounds off each side until you start hitting lifts and then go back up.
Quit stroking your ego, you maniac.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, anyone have any strong feelings about heart rate percentage as a measure of intensity?
I never considered that in my life.
I use it for recovery, and that's about it.
I once wore a heart rate monitor in school. I did a treadmill test, and I had to wear a heart rate monitor that did not quite stretch across my fat chest. Like, the Velcro kept popping off. What you're talking about with...
Yeah.
I don't use it for intensity measures, but I use it for recovery methods.
Okay.
Meaning, there's a certain point where your heart rate's too high and you're out of a recovery, you know, a recovery zone.
Yeah.
And that's important to know, because if you think I'm going on a jog and I'm not recovering, I'm on a jog, you might not be recovering, because some people suck at jogging. So it might be, you know, you might be at 150 beats per minute and you may think, oh, just because I'm jogging, I'm recovering. You're not. You're out of breath.
That's the same idea as when people try to recover by lifting light weights lots of times.
Right.
Like, you think you're recovering, but you're not. You're actually blowing up your recovery.
So yeah, that's all I know about that.
I think the heart rate monitor for percentage of your of whatever of your max is something that's highly utilized in the endurance community.
Yeah.
But I would like to remind people, I personally don't like using it just because in CrossFit it's almost impossible to actually track that. And then the other thing is it's going to vary from day to day. If you're a little dehydrated, if it's hotter, if it's colder,
yeah.
If you had two beers last night, like these are, if you didn't get enough sleep last night,
if you ran out of K, you didn't snort before the workout.
Exactly. Like, you know, there's,
what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Heart rate's way down. You're usually 280 beats per minute.
It's too variable, but I do like using the heart rate to know if you're recovering. And it's also good to maybe track first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
If your heart rate is going up day after day, that might be a sign of overtraining. So that's might
good
be
an indicator.
Yeah, it might be good to know that from that versus oh, I got a fever. You know that
in my prescription.
That's when you have to like totally stop training. All right. Anyways, all right. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about
reading comprehension.
Stay tuned.
We're going to talk about interval training and how that can help with how intense you're training and how that can benefit you.
Awesome.
Tater tots.
Pearls. Hey, guys. This is Rich Froning, and you're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to fitter.tv.
But some people just may not be able to go fast.
You ready?
Right.
Oh, you didn't know?
Yo, ass better
call on somebody.
We get that on tape?
All right, we are back. No. Oh, yeah, he is recording. All right, we are back talking about intensity and volume still. And now we're going to talk a little bit about how you can use a little bit of this knowledge to develop.
What? Are you going to use all the knowledge?
Develop some training for yourself. First, I want to say, check out our sweet Barbell Shrug t-shirts. Da-da-da! These things.
It's got a logo on it.
Yep. CTP put a...
This shirt is intense, bro!
CTP went on the fan page. He went on the Facebook fan page.
With the right volume, though, it can be beneficial.
That's right.
The Rock has one of these.
The Rock?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson bought 5 of these.
Wow.
That is true.
Yeah, so you can go to the website and order one of those for yourself. They're pretty sweet. CTP put up a few different versions of the shirt on the Facebook fan page one day, and everyone kind of voted on it, and this is what
you
we ended up
for
with.
You wanted it.
That's right.
You got it.
That's right.
Democracy.
Wait, what did I do?
Shut up.
That's another fact.
Just go with
fact.
It.
Fact. CTP did that one day on Facebook. All right, we're going to talk about interval training and how you can...
This is how you make your
this
workout
is, This
intense.
Is how we're going to apply some of what we were just talking about to your training. And what do we want to talk about? Barbells or rowing or conditioning first?
Conditioning.
Conditioning?
Conditioning sucks and is more boring, so let's get out of the way.
It does suck. But let's talk about different types of intervals. So the whole point of doing intervals is to be able to do something called overload. And that is to exceed what you're capable of normally for a longer period of time. So if you want to train your ability to row further in 5 minutes, you could do 5 1-minute intervals. I'm just using an example. And you could row all out. And you could go faster for 1 minute each than you would for any single minute of a 5-minute row. So the basic idea is that you would be able to exceed your ability for a period of time, recover, do it again, and keep overloading. And that way, you'll be able to cause an adaptation.
And actually end up going a lot farther.
Yeah.
I actually do a lot of that kind of rowing. Like, I notice if I want to row 2,000 meters, I'm going to go slow pace. By the end, I'm dying. My ass is numb. Everything's going south. But if I do it all out for a minute at a time or 30 seconds at a time and back off for X amount of time, I end up going 2,500, 3,000 meters, actually. And... Each one of those bursts is super fast, yeah.
It causes an adaptation, breaking it down like that. So,
yeah.
So rather than testing it all the time.
And there's a balance between adaptation and exhaustion. So you want to exceed your ability just enough to get adaptation, but if you take it too far, you can reach exhaustion. And how can we find, like, how do you find that balance, Mike, when you're doing, like, say, rowing intervals? At what point do you go, okay, I'm probably exceeding the adaptative phase a little too much, and I'm reaching to exhaustion. I should probably shut this down.
When you can't reach sustainability anymore, so, you know, let's say you did your five intervals at a minute, and the first three, let's say you're hitting around the same distance, right, per minute. And then the fourth one, it might drop, you know, 10%. You know, a little bit. That's quite a bit, actually. You know, just a little bit. And then that fifth one, you know, it's like you're struggling to hold on, and then you're way off the pace where you were on the first 3 minutes. Probably time to shut it down.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And probably to get in better shape, because three rounds of intervals is not, yeah. That's not a lot now,
that's
just, fast.
That's a small
to,
example. Well,
that's not exactly true. I've seen, I mean, it's common to do, if you're going all out, if you're not pacing, if you're doing, say you do six or five 1 minute intervals, and you're taking a 3 minute break in between each interval, I mean, people will start, you know, taking a dump around, you know, the probably fifth, fourth one.
Speak,
a lot of times,
dude, speak for yourself.
A minute long, 3 minute rest, all out. You're probably taking that dump on the third set.
Yeah,
but it, what are you trying to train? You know, like if you're just doing it just to get tough. No, don't shut it down. Get them all done. You know,
right,
you're
right.
Gonna fall off. That's inevitable.
Right,
but.
Right.
But that's a long ass interval, though. Let's be fair, right?
Yeah,
that's a really minute long. Of work is like that's
all
not
out.
Really what
yeah,
I think of
tough.
As an interval.
Yeah, and so there's two different types of intervals.
Right.
Well, that's oversimplifying.
Yeah.
But there's a type of interval where you do go all out and you try to blow it up, and then there's the interval where you practice a little bit of the RPE we talked about, the rate of perceived exertion. So, and that usually comes with longer intervals and shorter rest periods. I guess the work to rest ratio might be a little bit smaller. So how does that work for you, Mike? Do you what percentages are you working at a lot of times when you do these longer intervals?
The longer intervals?
Yeah, say like, the 5 to 10 minute interval.
A 5 to 10 minute interval, we're talking like an 80 to 90% range, mm-hmm. right? So you want something that's sustainable, meaning, you know, if I do 3 10-minute intervals with 5 minute rest between each one, that's 30 minutes of work with only 5 minute rest. You've got to pick a pace where you can, if I want all outputs to be the same.
Right.
If I'm just looking to die, then I'm in fatigue training and it's not the same thing.
Right.
Meaning I could go all out for that 10 minutes and do awesome, rest 5 minutes. I could hang on for that second 10 minutes and it's just a crappy performance, rest 5 minutes and then do it again and I'm just like suffering.
That's what the equivalent of training yourself to fail.
Right. And like, why would you train like that? Like, unless you really have a problem with being tough, there's no point to me.
There's a place
like
for both.
Right.
But
right.
You can't do that day after day.
You don't
want
to do it. You might want to, I don't know, once every couple, I don't know, whenever. But the other way around it, you know, the other side of it is, you know, 10 minutes at a sustainable effort, 80 to 85%, rest 5 minutes, do that three times.
Yeah.
You know, that's good practice. It's teaching you to control yourself and give that right, you know, ask for that right dose of intensity.
Well, that reminds me, like we used to talk about back in the day in the lab with Lauren and Brian, like you can, there are ways to make your training really hard. Like you could also lift while somebody hits you in the balls with a chain. That would make it painful and hard. That doesn't make the training more effective. Like punishing yourself is not necessarily what you're after. The
yeah,
dog pulled
right.
my
yeah, I agree.
Headphone cord. Yeah, so don't train to fail. Don't train to punish. Train smart. Train optimally.
It's like you said earlier, if you go in and you're trying to hit 90% and you keep missing it over and over, you're training to miss lifts.
Right.
You know, it can be worded in a different way at doing those intervals, you know.
Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah. No,
totally,
maybe.
Yeah. And so I kind of touched on that too, is another way that you can change your intervals is the ratio of work to rest. So,
yeah.
usually, and this is not always the case, the lower the amount of time you're working, the longer rest you're going to get, because you're usually going for a higher output,
right?
Higher power output. And then the longer the duration of the work, the shorter in relation to the work, the ratio
typically,
is a little bit
yeah.
smaller. Typically.
Yeah. Yep.
Not always, but that's usually how it goes.
Basically, you know, a simple way to do it is like we talked about a minute ago, is just pick a single modality movement, meaning like a rower. And that way it's easily measured, you know, and you can play with this at home. Like, you know, row 15 seconds all out, you know, 1 week, rest a minute, and see how long you can repeat that, you know, until you actually start falling off. And then you start to learn, okay, well, I might need to add more rest to it so I can keep putting that high effort out. Or maybe take some away, you know, if you don't feel fatigued at all.
You're going to be different than yeah. a lot of people. You exactly. can find what so, works for you.
Find what works for you. Yeah.
Cool.
You're an individual. You're like a snowflake. You're precious and unique, and you are made completely different than everybody else. It's not true.
What did Brian say? You're like a, you're a snowflake. You're cold and wet, or
no? I said.
Or you
cold,
said
you're cold.
I said
middle.
You're a snowflake. You're unique, just like everybody else.
I think maybe he said something about being yes,
something about being wet.
You're
and
all
cold.
cold and made of water, or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about also the strength side.
I was about to ask
your
you.
Turn.
So when it comes to the barbell training, you know, training the barbell and doing some strength stuff, what are some examples of ways to keep it intense? Maybe proper rest intervals and stuff like that. Taking rest because strength training is intervals as well.
There's like several different ways you can do the lifts, right? You can do like 5 sets of 5, which is pretty intense, and it's also high volume. It takes a lot of rest in between. You can do like 3 sets of 10, which is sort of the old standby from the bodybuilding days. Not very intense, you know, but has its uses, especially for assistance lifts. You can do heavy singles. You can pick up 95% of your deadlift 1RM and then spend several minutes, maybe like 10 minutes even recovering from that effort.
So the more intense the movement, the more heavy it is, the longer you might need to rest.
But I tell you, my favorite approach to getting strong always was, and I guess is, picking a weight. Let's say you start off by just doing something that's obviously light. You do a single, you add a little weight, you do a single. Like, let's say the best example is probably speed deadlifts. So you put 50% of what you can deadlift on the bar. You pull it, you add 20 pounds, you pull it. The rest is 30 seconds, 45 seconds. You add weight, you pull it. You get up into a range that's like 70%, 75, maybe even like 80 if you're feeling really, really good. Like a weight that if you don't walk up to the bar with focus, that bar is going to kind of come off the ground slow and it's going to feel heavy. If you focus a lot and you're roused and you're really on point, the weight comes up quick. So it's that balance between heavy and light, but it's sort of like an optimal range. And repeating that sort of an interval fashion. So you pull one, you put it down, you walk, you rechalk your hands. About the time it takes you to walk back to the bar is your rest interval. You pull it again, you pull it again, you pull it again. You do it like 10 times and you get done. You have this overwhelming feeling of like nervous system excitation. You feel great. You've got a pump at the same time. Your form was perfect. Nothing's hurting. I think that's like the most optimal balance between intensity and rest and work. It just, that's to me is the most effective way sort of to approach an intense, really effective training session. You can do it with squats. You can do it with bench pressing.
Yeah, like a like single rep thing. Every 30 seconds.
Yeah, you can even do it with like, you know, Olympic pulls and stuff. You know, pull, put it down. And rest just long enough to where you're not going to interfere with the next rep.
And this is just like the conditioning intervals, really.
Mm-hmm.
The intensity is not as high.
Nope. But still high.
So your rest and your rest intervals can be shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you don't beat yourself up so much. Like if you, there's only so much 5 sets of 5 you're going to do before you really beat up, and that affects everything else you're doing. There's only so many 1RM deadlifts you're going to do before you blow your back.
Right, right.
So you got to find an optimal balance between the two, and that's a really also really fun-ass way to train. I mean, you leave feeling fantastic, and you have a blast doing it.
Where would that be beneficial?
Like what time of the year?
No, doing that, what are you gaining out of it?
It makes you strong as shit.
Okay.
Yeah, there's.
Because like you don't train any rep with bad form because you're resting enough to refocus on your form. You're not training with light weights, so you're getting a strong, you know, physiological and neurological stimulus.
So
you're not training with super heavy weights that are grinding you down. So it's a nice balance.
So it's an
of
example
all
of a volume day, like Mike was explaining earlier. Versus
for sure.
Yeah, I think so. Like, what's interesting in this discussion is there's a lot of interplay between these ideas. It's sure. all the same kind of notion.
Yeah, the guys who can program, who do a really good job of programming for strength anyways, they do a really good job of finding that balance between that overload, that potential for adaptation and exhaustion, and, you know, not stepping over that line. And there's going to be days where there's more intensity, days where there's more volume. There's going to be weeks and months where there's more intensity, more volume. And there's going to be that balance, and they have to watch the athletes and, you know, this month we might have a lot of intensity. So next month we may have to back off the intensity, add in more volume and stuff like that. And you might have months where you're doing a good bit of total intensity and total volume. And then the next month you may have to really lay low again. And that's a good example of tapering. You know, you may do a lot of volume and intensity in a month. And then the next month you may taper for a competition. You know, in a competition, you have a lot of intensity and volume, especially in something like CrossFit. And then you're going to have to take another break again and lower the intensity and volume. And so that's where you have those waves of volume and intensity throughout the year. And finding that balance for each individual athlete, individual teams of athletes and stuff like that, that's where, like, you know, a good program comes into play.
Or just take a lot of steroids and do whatever the fuck you want. Go out there.
That works too.
Yeah. Go over there and rock it. High volume, high intensity, always and
all
forever.
The time. Train intense all the time.
There's no such thing as
overtraining,
bro. No such thing.
All right, guys. I think we're going to wrap this show up. I really enjoyed having this discussion with you two.
Yep. Glad to be back.
Thank you, audience, for
if
checking
you
it out.
Somebody's driving just spilled some coffee all over the
show. Barbell Shrugged is cooking.
Oh my god.
You're too intense, man.
All right.
So
yeah, see that
intense, bro.
Perfect example.
You're so 1998.
He's been resting this whole time, so he was able to have a lot
exactly.
of intensity at the end.
You closed that loop. Good job.
Yeah, you're welcome. Chris, what do you got to plug?
Go to the chrismoreblog.com. I'm gonna go home tonight and put up a blog post. And then in the future people will read it. Because this is going to be in the future.
Exactly.
Simple Strength. Check out the seminar.
But it'll be the past if you're listening.
You warped my mind. go to Fitter TV. Check out the strength seminar, Simple Strength. I think you'll dig it. Check out the comments. See what you think. If you buy it, I think you're going to like it. It comes with a lot of great resources. We're going to be building and expanding that thing with time. It's going to be great. And then also, I guess, going back to the beginning of the show, Garage Games, February the 16th.
What?
16th, yep.
The whole crew is going to be there. We're all giving talks. We're
rolling
gonna,
deep.
We got booths and
we're,
shit.
We're
you know what I'm saying?
We're podcasting
we're
live.
We're doing the show live on location. We got great talks planned. We're going to wow you. We're going to wow your brain.
We're going to do it live there, but not live for everybody.
Oh, yeah. That's
we're recording
a,
it for everybody.
That's another philosophical idea. We will be there. We'll be doing it. And the people who are there, well, it'll be live. And then the people who aren't there, it won't be live.
We'll be alive.
We'll be alive doing it live then in
all
the
right.
past.
McGoldrick will be there, and he'll be selling.
Mobility kits. Go to mobilitykits.com. Sign up for the newsletter. I'll send out some information every couple of weeks, give you some tips on, you know, how to use the kit to its full potential or just some neat little techniques you can use at home and help improve your recovery and self-maintenance.
And
we'll show how to use the ball bag.
That's right. The
and
ball
the
bag.
Stick.
And the stick. Yeah, go to the come to the Garage Games. Check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to have a really good opportunity while we're there because there's going to be a lot of high-level athletes there that we're going to get to interview. So we're going to have, in the future, we're going to have, we're going to interview Matt Baird again. We have Shayna Alverson.
Crazy ass Matt.
Brandon Phillips. Who else we got? I don't want to leave one off now that I'm naming names. I don't want anyone to feel bad.
Steve Mullen.
Yep. Steve Mullen. I can't wait to get that guy on here. Steve Mullen is going to be a treat.
I don't know, Steve.
He's just pure eye candy. No.
Oh, good.
Who else? Anyways, there's no telling who else we're going to run into while we're there, and we're going to snag him up. I may also, if we can find some time on the edge and I can, before or after the weekend, might try to swing John Coffey, but we'll see what we can do.
Mm.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Got anything for us, CTP?
What'd you just ask me?
John Coffey.
Do you have
anything? It doesn't matter what you ask me.
The show's over.
All right. Peace out, guys.